you think you understand this the way this works here?
Sure.
You understand that perfectly?
Yeah.
All right. Say, would you go into my office for a minute?
It's stuck.
Why are you trying to go through and lock the door?
You told me to.
If I told you to jump out the window, would you do that?
No.
It's too bad. I had some hope for that.
It's Dave Player on Chicago's very own 720 WGN. In television history, few entertainers have captured as many hearts and made as many people laugh as Tim Conway. There's nothing in the world that Tim would rather do than to entertain. And in his first ever memoir, What's So Funny?, that's exactly what he does. From his pranks in small Ohio classrooms to his performances on national television and movies, Tim has been cracking people up for more than 70 years. Long regarded as one of the most funniest comedians around, What's So Funny shares the hilarious accounts of the glory days of television, being discovered by Rose Marie from The Dick Van Dyke Show to McHale's Navy, The Carol Burnett Show, and his famous partnerships with entertainment greats like Harvey Korman, Don Knotts, Dick Van Dyke, Betty White, Vicki Lawrence, Bob Newhart, and of course, Carol Burnett. I am so thrilled to have him on the show today. Tim Conway. Hey there, Tim.
Hi. I thought he was dead.
No, no, there's. It's a rumor, I think.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's
a rumor. Okay, all right. And I'll speak for him.
All right, I appreciate that. You know, so after 50 years in show business, you finally wrote a book, which I absolutely loved.
Well, I finally learned how to write. Yeah,
that's good. That's a good thing. You know, and it tells us about your childhood and so forth, and your long storied career. How long did it take you to pull all this together and write this book?
2 days, actually.
Really? Wow.
Actually, it was very short. I would say 3 days, actually.
It's because it's not a pamphlet. It's a really full, hardcovered, one-inch size novel. Amazing that it only took you that short a time.
Well, I type very rapidly.
Uh-huh. Nice. Well, you know, in the book, okay, you talk about your mom and how much you learned from her cooking and cleaning and sewing and just about life itself. But it was her strong Romanian upbringing, okay, and the language itself that that inspired two of your most famous characters that I kind of related together, which was Mr. Tudball from the Carol Burnett Show and Dorf.
Well, mother's friends would come over on Sunday to eat, and they all talk like this. So I think that Mr. Tudball came from that.
I would think so. Yeah.
The others, I have no idea.
Not a clue. Not a clue. So then, in sixth and seventh grade, you discovered you had dyslexia. Let me pronounce that right. Dyslexia.
Which you, that's good. Maybe you have it too.
Yeah, maybe I do. Which you said, you know, somehow it contributed to your comical outlook on life. I mean, kids laughed at you as a result. Like, how did you find comedy?
Every once in a while, you'd have to get up and read aloud to the class, and when I did, I put words into sentences that were never there, and kids thought I was really actually being funny, so I just decided, what the heck, the laughs are good, and it makes me feel happy, so I'll just continue with it.
You like people laughing at you. You liked entertaining people.
That's correct, yes.
Well, when you got out of the Army in 1958, your sense of humor came out, and you started actually, before you did television and the movies, you started on radio.
Yes, I did. I sat on the radio for a while, and they said, get off the radio.
Yeah, yeah.
So I went to TV, and the Army was kind of unusual. The Army doesn't have much sense of humor, so
no.
I spent 2 years and 2 weeks in the Army.
Okay.
The extra, when you're court-martialed, they add that on to the end.
Did you entertain while you were in the Army? I mean, it was more about cracking people up?
I thought I was entertaining until they said, stop doing that. And Yeah, they the Army just doesn't have that big a sense of humor. So I quickly shut that up.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So outside of radio, you transitioned into local television. Tell me a little bit about Ernie's Place.
Well, Ernie Anderson was a guy from Cleveland who we sold to a station, WJW, that in Cleveland that was, he was the talent and I was the director. He had very little talent and I had never directed. So the first week, we never got the show off. We were showing a movie that was supposed to be off at 10 o'clock in the morning, and I could never back time it to get off at 10. So at the end of the week, people would call up and say, you know, where are the ends of these movies? So we would show the ends on Friday.
All together.
Yeah, right. For those of you who missed.
That's great. I love that. Wasn't Ernie Anderson, wasn't he like a haunted, like a horror host, like a movie host later?
Yes, he was. Goulardi.
Goulardi.
Yeah.
That's right. That's right.
So that was your big, actually.
Yeah, very much so. But that was your first crack at television.
Yes, it was. Yeah.
Now, you stated that Rose Marie from the Dick Van Dyke Show was in Cleveland. Now, was she doing a tour? Was she on some? You mentioned the Mike Douglas show.
Yes, she was publicizing the Dick Van Dyke Show. She came through Cleveland, and we were the reason I was on the show a lot was we were supposed to have a guest every day that would talk to Ernie, but we couldn't get anybody to guest because the show was so bad. So I was the guest every day, and he would say, well, here's Pablo, a chef who is going to be talking to us today, and we would just take off for about 20 minutes on Pavlov and the chef, and I would be that character. And every day we did something like that.
So, you know, in early television, too, I mean, that's really where you cut your teeth in this. So if you really had to come up with something new every day, I mean, this was really what kind of launched it for you.
Yeah. Well, I never knew what he was going to say. He would say, here's a horse trainer, here's a tree trimmer, or whatever, you know, and then we would just go out and ad-lib about 10 minutes. And we taped a couple of those, and Rosemarie happened to see a couple of those, and she thought, boy, these are really funny. And I said, you think that's funny? You ought to read some of the reviews we're getting. You know, this show, you want to see Stink, see this guy in the morning at 10 o'clock. So she took some of those back to Steve Allen, and Steve's, you know, crazy. He had Don Knotts, Louis Nine, Tom Poston at the time. So he said, yeah, let's bring him out here. And so I came out to California, did three shows, and his show was canceled. So I came back to Cleveland. And but before I did, somebody said, you know, the new show is coming out, McHale's Navy, and they're looking for a guy to play Ensign Parker. So I said, well, I've got to go back to Cleveland. And the guy said, but this agent can get you in to play Ensign Parker. And I said, no, I'm having a lot of fun in Cleveland, and we really have a bad show back there, so I have to get back to it. I said, nobody's cornered the bad show the way we have. So I came back to Cleveland, and they said, no, you've got to come out and do this Parker thing. So I did.
And you did that for, was it 2 years or 3 years on McHale's Navy?
Actually, it was on for 4 years.
Okay.
It was in black and white, and that's the reason it got canceled, because they figured they couldn't sell. Everybody was going to color, and they didn't have anything in color. So I said, well, I could, you know, I could paint these things.
Right.
They said, no, we have 4 years in black and white, and we'll never sell it. So no reason to continue with it. So they took it off.
What was it like working with Ernest Borgnine? I know you guys were friends
terrific.
For years.
He really was. Yeah, he was a like a big teddy bear, you know. I mean, and the nicest guy in the world. I mean, he's the kind of guy who would drive around the country in the summertime and just park his car and go up on somebody's porch and sit there with them and talk, you know, as he drove across the country.
And friends for the rest of your life. You actually did SpongeBob with him years later, too.
Yes, yeah. Yes. How very proud of that.
How much fun. Hey, that's a funny show, I got to tell you.
Well, when you tell your kids
what they're saying,
that you've scored in life, I think SpongeBob is high on your...
Yeah, they're going to play a role. So now, after you were already on McHale's Navy for a couple years, in the book, you spoke about Chagrin Hardware back in Ohio, run by Ken Schutz, who, you know, was also your town psychologist as well.
Yeah. Well, whenever you did anything wrong in town, you would go to Jim, and he would tell you what you had done wrong and make you count, you know, like nuts and bolts and things and put them in the correct order.
It was your penance. Your penance.
Yeah. So I spent a lot of time with him because I was always screwing up in school.
I'm sure. But during this time, your mother called you after you were on TV for a few years and told you, you know, if it didn't work out, he had an open position for you.
Yeah, he was hiring, my mother said, and she said, you know Jim rather well. Maybe if you came back here and talked to him, you could get that job, because he was hiring one more guy.
Yeah, maybe you could move up a little.
In the hardware.
You know.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, sure.
Was it that she was she supporting you as an actor, or was she just really looking out for you?
I don't think she ever saw anything I did.
Is that right? That's too bad.
That's too bad.
Well, you did all kinds of other shows, too, in the 60s. You did the Dean Martin Show and Danny Kaye and Red Skelton, but it was the Gary Moore Show where you first met Carol Burnett.
So Carol came out, and she was doing her show, and I had met her on the Gary Moore Show, and she said, come out and do my show. And I said, okay. I said, how many are you doing a year? And she said, we would like you to do all 33 shows. And I said, well, I don't want to tie myself down that much. So I'll tell you what, I'll do 32, and the last week I'll guest on somebody's show.
Oh,
and
nice.
I would always guest on her show.
Wow.
So really? 33.
Yeah, at the end of the day, it was just 33.
Yeah.
Well, we'll talk to Tim about his experiences on the Carol Burnett Show, his friendship with Harvey Korman, and much more next on 720 WGN.
And also starring Tim Conway.
It's Day Player on 720 WGN, and we're talking to the incomparable Tim Conway on his new book, What's So Funny. Have you read the book yet, by the way, Tim?
No, I haven't been able to afford one.
No.
They're almost 30 cents. I've got to get a job more long.
I've got a couple of them. I'm going to send one to you,
just
so you
can
take a look.
Oh,
you got a nice
great.
Shot on the front cover.
Much.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it was kind of fun to, I never expected to go anywhere, but a lot of people have read it so far, and I guess it's on the New York
Times bestsellers. Yeah.
Something, that's whatever they call those.
Spelling list, yes, exactly.
Yeah.
You know, so Carol asked you to do the series in the beginning. Now, it was on for 11 seasons, from 67 to 78, and as a kid, I was under the illusion that you were a regular for all of those 11 years, and even though you were frequent and much beloved guest star, you were only a regular for the last three seasons of the series. That's crazy.
That's correct, yeah. Well, I had to keep that open time, you know, in case I was asked to do another show, and I never was, so I did all 33.
You did
every year.
You did, though. You did. You had the Tim Conway Show in the early 70s. You did an hour variety show.
Yes. I think I hold the record, too, for shows being canceled.
Oh. It might be Don Rickles.
I think it was
eight. Might be Don Rickles.
Yeah. Well, Don and I are tied, yeah.
Yeah.
But we were doing one show. It was a half-hour show, and 15 minutes into the show, the guy came out, the producer, and said, stop doing this. Okay.
Really?
Why? Well, the network is canceling it.
Huh.
Okay. All right. And they canceled it in Cleveland, actually. It started in Cleveland.
Really?
Everything always.
Your hometown. So you did Carol so many times. You know, what, and then obviously a regular. Tell me about your experience working with Carol and Harvey and Vicky on the show.
Well, she was the most marvelous person you've ever would ever want to meet. I mean, she just had she had no desire to be the star of the show, although she was. And Harvey had a desire to be the star of the show, which he wasn't, and I told him that. You know?
Yes, of course.
Yeah, Harvey and I became the best of friends, and he was probably the smartest guy I've ever known, but couldn't tie his own shoes, so I could put him on something terrible and would plan to do that every day.
Well, you know, everybody knows that it obviously didn't take much to throw him, you know, in a
that's
sketch.
Correct, yeah.
But
he was always telling me, you know, you can't laugh on television because, you know, that it looks so phony. And he would sit there and laugh through the whole thing, you know. So.
Well, you're a funny guy. Well, Carol said it was never, you know, your intention to throw anyone, but you always left room for some ad-libbing to surprise your target. So you made it a mission to not only make the audience laugh, but the performers you were on stage with, obviously, as well.
That's correct, yes. Very poor performance. You know.
But you did, too. You shot the episode when you did it. You shot, didn't you shoot it twice in one day?
Yes.
So did you do it different?
In the afternoon, and then the later show at night when we had an audience, we would just go nuts, you know, and throw in anything we thought of, and that's what usually ended up on the air.
So did you do something different in rehearsal, or did you play it pretty straight during rehearsal?
The first rehearsal in the afternoon, I would play it straight so Harvey could figure out where we were in the sketches and things like that.
Gotcha.
But when it came to air, we just took off, and sometimes I wasn't even there.
Nice. Nice.
Yes. Try and find me.
Try and find you. Too many to choose from, you know, the Dennis sketch being one of the most popular, the old man, Mr. Tudball, and various characters you played from week to week. I heard you tell a story that the Dennis sketch was actually influenced by one of your own dentists.
Yes, it was. He was going to fill a back tooth of mine, and he took the Novocaine needle, and he stuck the needle into my cheek from the inside of my mouth. It went through my cheek and into his own thumb.
Oh, jeez.
And he immobilized his hand. So I thought, this will be swell. So that's what it really came from. And eventually we did the sketch where I immobilized my entire body.
Your entire body. And you did it again. Yeah. You did a DVD with some performances with Harvey later years, but it's called Together Again, where you recreate the whole sketch. It's fantastic. But you get a lot of comedy from life's experiences, don't you?
Oh, don't you, though?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. In 2001, here's the most exciting part. So many years after the show went off the air, you were all back together in the 25th anniversary reunion special, which drew over 30 million viewers. When you think about the viewership today, with all the channels split up and everybody's watching,
12 people that are lucky.
Right. But this was a time where we only had, you know, those three channels, and everybody. This is the true time of water cooler moments where everybody would be talking about the same show at the same time.
Yes, and if you didn't see it, you're out of luck. You know,
So,
there was no taping or anything like that.
And then you did a bunch of reunions afterwards, which was pretty exciting. And then again, after the show, your professional relationship with Harvey continued on for another 30 years.
Yes, we continued to do those reunions even after the show went off. It just he and I would get together and I'd say,
coffee shop.
You know, here's Harvey Korman. And we would do a show.
You mentioned before that a variety show couldn't make it today. Do you think it could be because of the expense? And I'm sure your salary has gone up quite significantly.
Oh, my God, yeah. I'm up to $1.50 an hour.
Is that right?
Yeah.
But do you think the audience has interest in seeing something like that and seeing something?
Oh, I think so. Yeah. I think, I don't know if you could have, like, there were 12 on the air at the time that I was doing variety. Right. So, and our shows, too. But by the time you get through with the band and the talent and the theater and the whole business, it's just too expensive to do.
It is.
For what they get out of it. But I hope it comes back sometime.
Absolutely. You know, and TV wasn't the only place we saw you. You starred in some of the funniest Disney movies of the 70s and 80s. I could not wait to go see when you and Don Knotts were in a movie, The Apple Dumpling Gang being one of my personal favorites. But you wrote some of these as well, didn't you?
Yes. The one that Don and I was in, he was in it, I wasn't.
Okay.
And, Don was so easy to write for. You know, I would write a script and then go back and read it, and I would only have about two lines, and the rest were Don's, because he was such a funny guy, you know.
Well, you did kind of what Carol did, is you shared the screen for the laughs with others, and,
mm-hmm.
and were generous
yeah.
in that way.
And I didn't have to memorize anything.
That's right. That's right. Now, let me ask you this. If you were in show business, what do you think you'd be doing?
I started out to be a jockey in Cleveland.
Right.
And but at the present weight, even the horses ask you to get off. So I gave that up. But I loved horses and horse racing, and my dad trained horses. So I was pretty close to the horses most of my life. And people would say, "What stinks in here?" And I say, "It's probably my shoes."
Probably.
Yeah.
What do you want people to take away from this book?
They should take the wrapper off it
right.
so they can read it.
Yeah, it's very difficult.
I would say that you can have fun in life, you know, without, regardless of where you are in life, you can make something out of it. And I think that humor is something that we all would like to have a little more of, especially nowadays, you know.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, good deal. Well, I really enjoyed the book. Great stories from your childhood to today. And I know our listeners will enjoy it as well. Tim Conway's What's So Funny is available now and would make a great holiday stocking stuffer. And you can find the book through a link at WGNradio.com. And for more on Tim, you can find Tim on Facebook and Twitter. Do you tweet? You're a tweeter?
You know, I hate two words, tweet and Twitter. I don't know who came up with those, but I'm so tired of hearing. Do you tweet or are you Twitter? You know, I don't tweet or Twitter.
Okay, fair enough.
So leave me alone. Yeah.
All right, I will. And you can visit his official website at timconway.com. Tim, thanks for joining us, and happy holidays to you and your family.
Thank you, Dave.
All right, it's Dave Player on 720 WGN.